This is the Canucks Central Postgame Show.
Tavares knocks it out to center, and he'll skate into the Vancouver zone. Juulsen fell. Here's Tavares through the middle. In on net. Robbed by Lankinen with the glove. Tavares had a partial break. Garland right point. Down the far boards for Miller. Back to the top of the point for Hughes with a wrist shot deflected. They score! It got through and past Hildeby. I think it was Connor Garland that whacked it in out of midair. And it's 2-0 Canucks.
With instant reaction from the players and coaches.
Hughes gets it again, left point. Cuts to the middle of the ice. Down the right wing. Back and pass it to the slot for Sherwood. He scores! Keeper Sherwood with a hard wrist shot beat Hildeby high on the glove side. And the Canucks make it 3-0.
Have your say on the official home of the Canucks. Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Canucks victorious, blanking the Leafs 3-0 in Toronto, and this is the Canucks Central Post Game Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Satyar Shah with Bick Nizar. We are going to welcome in Landon Ferraro into the conversation coming up in just a moment. You can grab a phone line, 604-280-0650, or toll-free 1-888-275-0650. You can also hit us up on our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. It was nice to see the Canucks bounce back tonight, right, Bick, after that performance last night in Toronto.
Huge difference.
I mean, in Carolina, yeah.
From what we saw yesterday. Similar, but like they were able to ice the game. They're completely in control, right? Like we talked about this in the second intermission, point shots, and they end up in the net tonight. But we got this text that I think perfectly sums it up. Canucks doing to the Leafs what the Canes did to them, right? And it just the positions of power and the game state help influence how you dictate this game. And yeah, like we're talking about a team that gave up 11 shots in the final 40 minutes with a lead that they had the whole game.
Yeah,
31 seconds in, they give up 20 shots on goal, 11 in the final 40.
Yeah, and a big difference. Now, the people who called the game tonight, Brendan Batchelor and Landon Ferraro, also called the Canucks winning the game tonight. We spoke about this on the pregame show. Let's welcome in Landon into the conversation. You know, we were joking on the pregame show about how you guys felt that, you know, and we agreed that the Canucks actually have a decent chance to bounce back and win this game. You said, hey, we won't take the blame if we lose, but if you win, we'll take the credit for it. So the credit is all yours here, Landon. You and Batch called it.
Well, actually, Batch said he, it's only if it works out. I was very committed from the very beginning of this is 100% going to happen. So, I mean, one of us was a little more right than the other one, right?
Yeah, well, 100%, right? And you'll take it. And, you know, as far as, how the Canucks performed tonight, certain elements were not too dissimilar from last night, but fewer mistakes overall in their own end. But just with the poise they played with the puck and not, throwing pucks away and having some zone time, it just seemed like they weren't, they were not lacking the confidence they seemed to be lacking last night in Carolina.
Yeah, they fully committed to the effort tonight. And this team has had a lot of trouble keeping leads, especially in the third. And tonight, it was so much different. Watching this team, and like they weren't just icing pucks continually, they weren't just getting to the red line, chipping the puck in and going to change with no type of forecheck, just happy that they got it out of their zone and letting the other team just skate it right back at you. Like tonight they were strong positionally, like every time that they dumped the puck in the third, there was always someone going to get it, trying to create some difficulty and not just have easy breakouts. And then when Toronto did break the puck out, or they used that long stretch pass or whatever it may be, there was a Vancouver Canuck right on top of them on the D side to poke the puck away or angle it a different direction into, where there wasn't really a concern. Like this team was committed to this win tonight, and not in the sense of like, we have the lead, I hope this works out. Like they were dialed in, and it felt like they knew they were going to hold on to this.
I'm curious, when you look at like why this team has success in this defensive environment, and it's a tough ask, holding a team to 11 shots over 40 minutes with the lead. What like element on the ice stands out to you of like why they're able to suppress so well?
I think it is tonight. It was just how tight they were on top of every Toronto player that ended up getting a puck. And when you can be that aggressive and that on top of everyone, now they don't have time to make plays. And even when Toronto did have time to make plays, it didn't seem as much of, you know, you're watching guys, Canucks forwards players' heads in the defensive zone, and generally you see them kind of flipping around quite a bit, trying to find where their guy is. They've lost their check, and tonight, like, it was just so hunkered down. Everyone knew exactly where the next play was that Toronto was going to make. Like, it seemed like they were reading the plays really well, and when you have that, it doesn't matter the type of firepower on the other team. Like, it's not an easy game. And then you have Kevin Lankinen that's sitting in there and throws up his fourth shutout, and, you know, like, he had to make some really big saves. That the one on Robertson from the slot from Domi in the second period was such an unbelievable save. Like, to reach out with that right leg and grab it, or get enough of it, sorry, and then be able to reach back. Like, there was some big plays from every player out on the ice tonight, and that's exactly how this Canuck team needs to play if they're not just going to have occasional wins, if they're going to get back into, you know, some sustained winning and some winning streaks. Like, this is the type of game as a team you have to be committed to playing.
What did you think of the way Elias Pettersson performed tonight, especially defensively?
I mean, off the top of my head, he had, you know, three very good defensive plays. He had the block in the first. He had the hard play on the side of the net not to allow, I can't remember who it was, but not allow him to get to the front of the net in the second. And in the third, he makes another good block and another strong play off the right side of Lankinen. And, like, defensively, he was on it again. He drew another penalty, which they ended up scoring on the delayed call. He was strong on his feet. He made some plays. Like, this looks like the Pettersson that, like, it looks like he's about to pop off. And if that can be the case, like, that's going to be a massive injection of offense into this Vancouver lineup. But, you know, I didn't mind his game last night, especially for his first game back. But tonight I thought he was pretty dialed in.
We mentioned you in the first intermission, and I had your thoughts ringing out. You've mentioned this a lot on the post-game conversations here, but that first goal, and it's really a symptom of, like, a lot of what happened. Just, like, the decision-making on a lot of stuff, like, that's a soft chip by DeBrusque, you know, putting it off the board, letting it be into a space that Besser can latch onto rather than that hard rim or just chip it to the far corner. It just felt like on the puck, they just made better decisions.
Yeah, like, what they did so well tonight was they didn't put pucks to areas that they didn't have support. They didn't have someone already moving at a good amount of pace to get in there and disrupt whatever Toronto was going to try and do. And when you can be that on top of a team, you can be, you know, like, your hockey IQ is coming out to where it's not just a throwaway play. It's put into the right position. You have Besser driving through. Now he goes and gets the puck back. But all that doesn't matter if Pettersson's not sitting off the side of the net, you know, 5 feet away trying to beat that pop-out player. You know, like, so everything leads into the next play. And, you know, that's where it's so important that, you know, your line mates and your D that are out on the ice, you have an idea of what's going on. You have a game plan. They clearly had a game plan to get the puck in behind tonight and get it back up to the point and get some shots. And you know, the first two goals are two-point shots that one ends up going off Besser's heel for the first one, and then the second one pinballs around off a couple Toronto players and goes in. Those can seem lucky, but at the same time, they did all the work before that to be able to get that opportunity. And so, you know, there's some real positives in there tonight.
Yeah, it's you earn your bounces, right? They got a couple bounces. And, you know, some of the offense that was generated was not too dissimilar from what they've done. It's from the point and, you know, were longer shots, finding a way to get in. But at the same time, I thought they did a pretty good job of getting some good chances a bit closer into. That shot Sherwood scored on. Pettersson had a really nice play where he drove towards the net and didn't end up getting a shot on goal. So they had some nice quality looks. Obviously, there are things they can do and improve on. But as far as a confidence standpoint goes, rallying point, and I know we've been waiting for a turning point for this team, right? Could this be one of those games where you've had a tough road trip here, you've had the horrible loss last night, and then the whole situation of getting stuck in Carolina? Can this be one of those games where you feel like you turn a corner as a team?
100%. I mean, there's no way, especially when you have two samples back-to-back days of this is what we don't want to do, and this is exactly how we need to play to be successful. So you have them both so fresh in your mind, and you can look back over tonight, you know, as they're sitting there and talking about it amongst themselves of, Like, guys, do you feel how much easier that game was? Not to say the game was easy, but when you play together, you play in the right positions, you're ready to jump in and help someone, be that second layer of support. So you're always filling in on top of people. Like, that makes you proud as a team, as you look at it, and you can see exactly where, okay, guys, like, this is our success. This is how we can do this, but we need all four lines going. We need our six defensemen. Like, you know, Breezeau comes back into this game, and I know I've mentioned it a couple times, and I know they seem like it seems like such a, you know, a throwaway play, but like those two keep-ins with about 5 minutes left in the second didn't really amount to much, but at the same time, from that point on, it kind of got the rest of the players to be a little more on their toes. Don't sit back as much. Like, get in. If you make the right read and you can get in and pinch on that player, like, go in and do it. The forward's going to fill above. So, I mean, you can see how it doesn't matter what your rank or age is on the team. If you make hard, aggressive plays and they're the right plays, like, you can pull your teammates into the battle with you that way. And, you know, there's so many different things tonight where guys, you know, are doing things that you haven't really seen from them in a while. Like, you know, Hoglander comes back into the game tonight, and, you know, right off the top of my head, he had the puck in the left corner in the offensive zone twice, where he had to beat out his defenseman to get to the puck first. Then he had to be able to be strong on it and hold on to it while looking for his next play. The first one ended up being a pass to Miller, and it didn't amount to much because it ended up kind of going through his feet. But the second one, Miller gets a good shot on net. And, you know, so there's, again, like, that's a player that's had a really, like, a lot of struggles this year. And he's been a little better as of late. And those are two solid plays. Like, now he's starting to build on himself. So, I mean, there's a lot of positives individually and as a team that this group can, you know, kind of pull out and be proud of as they move to their next game.
A lot of text, obviously, about Quinn Hughes. It felt like a total package game. He gets the goal, and he gets the assist, obviously, on the Sherwood goal. But, like, that second period defensively, I thought he was just remarkable. And it just shows, like, the full array of talent that he had.
Yeah, I mean, it's Quinn Hughes. What are you going to say, mm-hmm. right? Like, whether he's defending with the puck or defending against it, like, he's always in the right position. And this play sticks out in my head so much, and I'm going to bring up a play where he got beat, because you just don't see it that often, of the one where Lorenz throws it off the boards to go around him, and he beats him back to the puck. And yet, even where he got beat, Quinn still recovers back to the slot and helps. It's the play that Suter ends up taking his penalty on, but Hughes got himself back into the play as well. Like, so even when he gets beat a little bit, like, he's the first one to kind of start to fix that as well. And once he gets the puck on his tape and he starts moving around, like, not only can guys not get the puck off of him, but he's creating so much, because you have to respect what he's doing. Like, Sherwood's goal, don't get me wrong, that is a beautiful shot mm-hmm. by Sherwood. And he has to be able to read the play as well and hop up. Like, he moves about 8 feet to his, you know, back and to his right a bit to get to that soft area. But at the same time, like, that happens because it's Quinn Hughes carrying the puck all over the zone. And now everyone's focused on him. And because of that, Sherwood's able to find that soft area. So again, like, it's just shows how in every aspect of this game, Quinn Hughes touches mm-hmm. every part of it and makes it better. And even when he does have a little bit of a mess up, he's the first one to fix it. So, I mean, it's a perfect example and perfect leader for any hockey team.
Yeah, I mean, just the amount of minutes he plays, the degree of difficulty, and the fact that tonight he faced the Toronto Maple Leafs' best players head-on for pretty much the entire time he was out there, or at least for the majority of the time he was out there, and acquitted himself extremely well. We have to spend a moment on the Canucks netminder, Kevin Lankinen. And the story is their defensive effort, Hughes, Pettersson, and, you know, creating a bit more offense here tonight. But it's also the backstopping by Kevin Lankinen. And early in the game, he made a couple of incredible saves. The one on John Tavares after Juulsen fell over in the first period was a big save. He made a couple other ones as well. And it wasn't, you know, one of those nights where he had to stand on his head completely, but there were some high degree of difficulty saves he made again tonight.
Yeah, and, you know, the game ends up 3-0, but it was a very tight game all the way through, and especially early, where, you know, in the first and then the early parts of the second, like, Lankinen is the biggest piece out of it because you know, they're only up one. Then in the second, they get that extra one, but Toronto's still pushing. And every time that they were Canucks were tested, they were able to respond to it and make sure nothing much was given up. But then even when it was, Lankanen was there and nothing, even that play on Robertson where, I talked about a bit earlier there where he makes the right pad save and then has to reach back and grab it. Like even that didn't look stressed or in a panic. Like he knew he got a piece of the first part and he just reached back, grabbed it and end of the play again. So, you know, Lankanen's done such a good job this year of being that steady force, even in games where the Canucks, you know, have not helped themselves. He's been there to help along.
Another remarkable day on the PK as well. They kill off all three and only end up giving up two shots on the penalty kill tonight against a group that has Matthews, Marner, Nylander, Tavares. What did you like on the PK tonight?
Well, for starters, I love that they almost scored twice in the last one. I mean, like, especially, like, Sherwood's shot was good, but that next chance was really good. But at the same time, like, to focus on the PK, they were in the right spots. They pressured when they had the opportunity. What you didn't see tonight was multiple clearing attempts that got stopped at the offensive blue line. And that's where they've gotten into so much trouble this year on the PK. Like, the PK does a really good job, and then they end up kind of getting bit sometimes just because they can't clear the puck 200 feet. And that wasn't an issue tonight. And again, like, just to reiterate, like, there really isn't a part of this game here for the Canucks that us three can sit here and start to break down and be like, you know what, I really didn't like that tonight, or that didn't look good. Like, this was a solid team win. And not only that, but like a committed win. And that doesn't seem like such a big deal, but for this team and the Canucks that have been, you know, floundering for so long this year, to put in a type of effort and get rewarded and really everyone have a good game, like that's something, like you were asking me earlier, like that is something that you can build off of.
Hey, players are creatures of habit. So do you arrive to Winnipeg on Tuesday then?
Maybe show up Wednesday, just make even bigger, better job of it. But no, I mean, you know, and that's the exciting part of right now is, you know, before the game yesterday and then especially after it, you're looking at the next upcoming games for the Canucks and you're like, oh man, like this is a little dicey. And it's amazing what one really good win in Toronto can do. And now you're going into Winnipeg next game and, you know, that's a big, heavy team that has a lot of depth and the best goalie in the game right now in Connor Hellebuck. And so, I mean, it's a point for the Canucks where they play a very good game right now. The coaching staff can go through the video and show them pieces of, you know, hey guys, like, look at how good we were. Look how on top of it. Like, we need to be doing this again next game. There's no excuse. Like, we've shown we can do it under some of the worst circumstances. Now we're going to have everything going right for us off the ice. We need to make sure we come out with that same urgency.
Yeah, and hopefully we see that on Tuesday and end this road trip on a positive note. I mean, it's a 5-game road trip for the Canucks, and so far they have one victory, but they have picked up now 4 points in 4 games. Get a victory against the Jets, and you come away, at least point-wise, not feeling too bad about things if you end up picking 6 out of a possible 10 points, right?
Exactly. And again, like, before this road trip started, like, everyone's looking at it and be like, I don't know how the Canucks get out of this okay.
Yeah.
And like, it's a really tough lineup of teams. And again, like, it's a story for the Canucks of two teams this year. It's when they're on top of it and they can play and hold, but they haven't been really able to do that for 60 minutes and hold the lead and not just kind of survive, but be in control of the lead. And that's what they did tonight. And again, you just have to keep building off of it, and everything in the past doesn't really matter. Like, you're 1-0 in your last one game. That's all that matters. You need to just keep pushing ahead.
Well, the second half of the season officially started on a positive note. 42nd game of victory for the Canucks, and hopefully a harbinger of good things to come the rest of this campaign. Great stuff as always, Landon. We look forward to chatting with you again very soon.
Yeah, have a good one, guys.
That is Landon Ferraro, brought to you by BC Honda Dealers. Love a good save, then you'll love the all-new, all-electric Honda Prologue EV. Score up to $8,000 in combined rebates. Visit bchonda.ca. The Canucks with a 3-0 victory in Toronto against the Maple Leafs. So you want to grab a phone line, you can do so. 604-280-0650 or toll-free 1-888-275-0650. We do have a lot of reaction on the Dunbar Lumber text inbox, pick 650-650. Renfrew Marco says, Brisebois in for Desharnais and Soucy on the other side made a big difference. Defense look steady. So we talked about, obviously, the big guys, but it was an all-in type of effort. And I do agree with Marco that Brisebois was fairly good. And overall, the defense, they didn't have a lot of chaotic moments tonight.
Just trying to think of awkward, like the only awkward one was Juleson falling over at the blue line. He may have been clipped by Nylander in that spot, and Tavares burst through. But by and large, again, like we're talking about a night here where the Toronto Maple Leafs end up at 5-on-5, 4 high dangers.
Yeah, I mean, and maybe there were a couple others where they didn't connect that don't count, but it was a very low event hockey game. And I mean, I was kidding with you midway through the second saying, forget low event, it's like no event, right? And the third period, at least according to Natural Stat Trick, neither team had a high danger scoring chance.
Again, even like one of their better opportunities that Landon was just talking about, that Nick Robertson shot, like Pedersen's still getting a stick on him and making it difficult. Like I don't really have a Leafs chance written down here in the third period.
It was the one play, and I forget who the puck came to the side of the net and just missed the tap in.
It was Tavares, but I think Soucy may have even tied it up because the NHL didn't even credit that with a shot attempt.
No, I don't think he was able to get a shot off. But
so there you go.
That's like, what I mean. The most dangerous play was a play that doesn't even count technically as one, right? But it was a good effort for sure.
The last like high danger that I have for the Leafs written down here is like a potential 3-on-2 that doesn't come off. That there was the Juleson mishandle at the blue line, and I think it was Nylander and Matthews, maybe.
Yeah.
Nylander and Tavares, and Tavares is trying to go through the middle, but like that didn't even come off. Like it was like shut them down hockey there for 35 minutes, basically.
And the most, you know what it looked like, Bick? The third period tonight looked like the Canucks with the lead in the third, like last year.
Yeah.
You know, they were excellent defensively. Maybe they didn't generate a lot, but if they had a chance, they finished it like you saw Sherwood do. And at no point did you feel like the Canucks were in duress. Like, it's kind of strange because they've been poor with the lead. And if anything, they've shown us in the first half of the season that it's not safe when they have the lead in the third. But despite all that, it's about how you feel watching the game and how the game is going and the game flow. And at no point in the third, even before they scored a 3-0 goal, did it feel like they were in about to lose control of the game, right? And I think that was really good, seeing the calm and clean defensive game reappear in the third with the lead.
Because even in some of the moments, you know, the Seattle game aside, because that was just a chaotic 5 minutes, like you could see some of like the puck management be an issue. Like that's the thing that's been plaguing them this year. And tonight, like that was sharp, and it goes back to what we talked about on the back end there. You know, Soucy going to the other side, that worked out tonight. And there's some praise coming in for the coaching staff, obviously, and obviously for Brisebois as well stepping in here. But Brisebois and Soucy, like, absolutely did their job today.
Yeah, it certainly did. And Soucy playing the right side acquitted himself well, perhaps alleviating some concerns from the coaching staff to play a lefty on the right side. And hey, one game, but something to keep in mind. We'll get to more of your thoughts on the text inbox as the show goes on. Let's go to the phone board, 604-280-0650, or toll-free, 1-888-275-0650. And let's go to Toronto at the scene of the crime, a Canucks victory against the Leafs, where we have Canucks fan Gary on the line. Gary, thanks for calling in from Toronto. What are your thoughts here tonight?
Hey, guys. First of all, I want to say I'm an avid listener. Love your show. Listen to every bit, every minute, whenever we can.
Thank you.
We're true from Vancouver, and we live in Toronto, unfortunately, but never give up on the Canucks.
Attaboy.
Okay, so a couple of things I want to say. One, I paid good money to sit in the lower bowl today in Toronto, though it hurts, and it was worth every penny. And then two, I good discipline tonight. The boys played well, and it was structured hockey. I cannot believe how well they just handled everything, other than maybe the second period for a little bit where we thought, oh, God, here we go again kind of thing. But after that, man, this is the team that this is capable of. All these guys, this is the Canucks. I wish to see more of this.
I'm with you on it, Gary. Hey, Gary, thanks for the phone call. Call in anytime. Appreciate the kind words. Well, I think we lost some words. I think he was going to say happy New Year. I think fast Eddie Gregory, quick on the draw there. But thanks, Gary, for your thoughts.
We'll make an assumption that he said happy New Year.
Thank you. But, I mean, honestly, hey, go on the road. The Canucks have had their share of victories. So if you're going on road games, you have a decent chance. But it has been a tough go recently. After that great Canucks start, was 8-0-1 on the road or whatever it was. They've gone 3-4-4 leading into tonight's game. So good to see them get back in the win column on the road as well. But good on Gary for watching it there in Toronto. And we've seen a couple of, like, games against good teams. Like, Toronto counts as a good team. They didn't play last night. The Canucks played last night and had the travel issues as well coming into the game. But they had the game against Florida. They've had the game, a couple games against Florida, but the most common one, the most recent one on home ice in the Colorado game even. So they've shown that they do have a decent fastball, but string them together. You know, like, great performance tonight. Now going to Winnipeg on Tuesday, build on it and get some momentum going in the second half.
Well, it feels reminiscent of that Florida, Boston, Colorado stretch, right? They play so well against Florida, complete dud against Boston. Colorado, they play well, 3-1 win. It's just the inverse here, right? That didn't generate enough against Carolina. Looks so sharp tonight against Toronto, and now it's okay. What can you build here? Obviously, a big test coming in.
Yeah,
Winnipeg to wrap up the road trip. LA division rival, Edmonton division rival. Plus, what happened in the playoffs? Right, like there's a string of games here. Very, very important. Very, very big.
Yeah, 100%. And the one on twos. We'll talk more about that coming up in a little bit. Let's take one more phone call before we hit the break. Let's go to Vancouver, where we have Kevin on the line. Kevin, thanks for calling in. What are your thoughts here tonight?
Good evening, gentlemen. It's been a long time since I've seen Patterson play like that.
Yeah, it's a good game.
Oh, my God. I think so. I'm very proud of him because I play hockey for a long time myself, and I know how it is if somebody else gets in your gears and gets in your – but he's fought through it.
Mm-hmm.
But the game he had today was a statement game. Blocking shots all over – that's his staple. He creates offense from his defense. And he did that tonight, and that was awesome to watch. That's what he does. Well, mm-hmm. You guys know that when he's at his best.
Yeah.
He's an awesome defensive centerman, and he just creates offense from that. And that's what he did tonight. It was awesome.
When he looked confident.
For
the phone.
Totally confident.
He looked really.
I think somebody got to him. I don't know. I don't know if Rick Tocchet shook him up a little bit or somebody did something, but he is not going to let. I don't know the ins and outs, but he's not going to let whoever is bothering him bother him.
Oh, I hope you're
right. It's almost like the old school guys. East fan guys, and then the woke culture. That's what it is. It's Miller, and then you got these guys, right?
Yeah.
Everybody's so goddamn sensitive nowadays, right?
I hear what you're saying. Hey, Kevin. Hey,
I think you fought through it.
Yeah, I hope so too, man. Listen, Kevin, thanks for the phone call. Call back anytime. And, I mean, it is – I mean, I don't think that's a bad way of putting it necessarily because very different – I mean, I don't want to go down a cultural road, but as far as just like how you see the world, that your worldview is very different. And that's kind of how it goes sometimes. But that doesn't mean you can't work together and have success, right? And, you know, somebody else texted in, I think it was Dean Abbotsford. He said, Miller and Pettersson after games like this aren't going anywhere, right?
Yeah.
And I saw a pretty funny text from Dave and Burnaby. Missed the game, but it sounds like we won. So we can keep Pettersson now? Can we keep Miller now? Or are we rebuilding again? Dave and Burnaby. So, but to the point, you hope that this is a launching off point for Pettersson as well, because even last night in Carolina, it wasn't the same level of performance as the one he had tonight, but his first shift, like, he had some really good positive moments. He did look more confident on the puck, and you just hope that that scoring comes alongside of it too, because picks up an assist tonight, incredible work defensively, put it together and get rolling here in the second half.
Yeah, no, it was obviously like defensive side is what a lot of people are highlighting in here, 650, 650. Plenty of texts from people that were at the game as well tonight. Adam in Toronto watched from behind the Canucks net. Pettersson was elite defensively, falling in all the right places. It's in a joke there as well.
Drew a penalty, yes.
Yeah, and draws a penalty on that play with David Kampf as well. But like that's what we want to see. And I just love that there was a willingness to like take the puck to the net. We mentioned that play on that Riley play, right?
Yeah.
Where just shakes Riley, gets to the front of the net. Again, shot goes wide, but nevertheless, he's there. And just looked active the whole night, moving his feet. Obviously, how much success he had in closing things down in the defensive zone. But he looked central in that that Besser goal. Like, he takes a pass, and it was close to the net. You thought, oh, is that a chance to just get something to the net? But it's on his backhand. He takes that pass tough, and two guys close on him, just has to negotiate the space and find Tyler Myers. But it's that, like, his presence draws Matthew Nyes down low.
Yeah.
and that opens up the shooting lane. And it's stuff like that that like you want to see from Elias Pettersson.
Yeah, and the five block shots, big, led the team tonight, blocking shots for the Canucks and led the way off forward-wise with a 3-0 win. Great performance from Quinn Hughes, great performance from Kevin Lankinen, and plenty of others to acknowledge as well. And we'll hear the thoughts of the Canucks head coach. Keep your thoughts coming into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. We'll take more of your phone calls on the other side as well, 604-280-0650, or toll-free 1-888-275-0650. It's Satyar Shah, Bik Nizar. You are listening to the Canucks Central Post Game Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Let Kubota do your heavy lifting. Visit them online at dleamc.com. More next on the home of your Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
Hey, it's Bik Nizar. Have your say and join me on the People's Show with big takes and even bigger bets weekdays 3 to 4 on Sportsnet 650 or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is where you talk Canucks. You're listening to the Canucks Central Postgame Show on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Jake DeBrusk, he'll skate to center and lift it into the Toronto zone. Brock Besser on the forecheck, pinned to the inboards by Morgan Rielly. DeBrusk got it free near circle for Pettersson, passes back to the line for Tyler Myers with a heavy shot. He scores! Myers on the first shot of the game beats Hildeby from the line. And the Canucks, who couldn't score last night against the Hurricanes, take a 1-0 lead just 31 seconds in, and I think Brock Besser tipped this one on its way to the goal.
A big puck battle won deep in the Toronto zone where they're able to throw it back up and Myers gets the big bomb off. But again, the key is the puck battle won behind. It pops to Pettersson off the side of the net, who banks it off the boards. Myers drags to the middle as he misses the first blocker, gets it to the net all the way through. Besser gets a nice little tip on it, but again, it's the Myers shot where he doesn't overthink it, just gets it to the net. Now Canucks, 30 seconds in, 1-0.
Brock Besser gets the Canucks game-winning goal for the first time in 5 games. You get to hear a Canucks game-winning goal. So no complaining that fast Eddie Gregory is only playing the opposition's game-winning goals. Win games, you get the game-winning goal, and that's what the Canucks did. 3-0 victory in Toronto against the Maple Leafs. And this is the Canucks Central Postgame Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Satyar Shah with Bik Nizar. Keep your thoughts coming in to our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650, or toll-free 1-888-275-0650. And we'll get to your phone calls and we'll get to your text messages coming up in just a moment. We are going to hear from Canucks head coach Rick Tocchet when he meets with the media, and that is coming up shortly as well. And you know, we've talked a bit about the big key players in tonight's game: Elias Pettersson, Quinn Hughes, Kevin Lankinen. But there are a lot of players who carried their weight tonight. And if you want to talk about the other guys who contributed to the victory, of course, Kiefer Sherwood puts the game away with the 3-0 goal, and now up to 13 goals on the campaign. What is a career season only gets better so far for Kiefer Sherwood.
Yeah, and they made a point in the broadcast, just mentions like, hey, this guy's leading the way in the hits, and here he goes again. It's 5 hits again tonight for Kiefer Sherwood, 5 shot attempts as well. Like, that line felt like they kind of got back to what they are as well. Like, that whole shift, and we'll do it in the goal breakdown later, but that whole shift, like, Heinen was excellent on that shift, protecting the puck, winning it low, retrieving it, being the F1, stopping it, and you just saw a lot more of that this evening. We're just trying to bring up Danton Heinen's ice time, 16:30, and a hit as well, and a couple of block shots for Danton Heinen tonight. And the minute deployment tonight in general, back-to-back with a big lead, you got to roll 4 lines. Like, JT played 13:22 tonight. Danton Heinen, 16:30. Yeah. Elias Pettersson, 16:08. Kiefer Sherwood, 17:38. And a lot of that is because of the PK. Heinen gets out there for 2 minutes and 14 seconds. Kiefer Sherwood's out there for 2 minutes and 48 seconds. But nevertheless, like, they played big roles. It was everywhere tonight.
Yeah, and JT Miller only had 30 seconds of shorthanded time, so they weren't trying to utilize him too much out of the 4 minutes they were, or sorry, 6 minutes they were shorthanded tonight. It was for some key faceoffs, essentially, but JT good in the faceoff circle, 7 victories, 4 losses, 64%. His minutes were pretty steady, though. Like, he had 4 minutes and change in the first, 4 minutes and change in the second, and 4 minutes and change in the third. But obviously, the game state does play a part into the third period deployment. But I thought that was interesting. It wasn't like he was playing significantly higher minutes on average in the first 40. It was pretty steady throughout the game tonight for JT.
Yeah, just carried on through. 64% in the faceoff circle. And again, I do think game state and situation of their travel schedule and, yeah, and being the back-to-back plays a role into that. I don't know how much I'm reading into that, because we've seen nights where he played 13 minutes, 14 minutes, and it was 29 shifts, 21 shifts tonight for JT.
So fewer shifts.
Yeah, fewer shifts. Again, so I guess something to monitor, but...
Yeah, I mean, I would go by game state a little bit, back-to-back, yeah, and, you know, he wasn't his best last night in Carolina. Certainly better tonight, and especially when you look at the defensive impact when his line was on the ice and ends up being a plus one on the evening, right? So not a poor performance by any means.
Just really quickly, while we're just talking minutes, just because I know it was a story going into it with Jonathan Lekkomäki going to the fourth line, 9 minutes and 56 seconds. I don't think he did anything that merited, you know, a benching or anything like that. But it was just, again, a 10-minute night for Lekkomäki.
Had two shot attempts. Four shot attempts,
yeah,
and none of them made it on goal. But he was active trying to shoot the puck when he had a few opportunities. Before we go to the phone boards here, Bic, a lot of reaction on the Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. Nuck in the six says, just when we were all ready to give up, they decided to play a great road game and looked like the team who played a simple, effective system last season. Let's hope this game is the one to build off and turn the season around. Quinn Hughes will be hands. With one hand, is better than 99% of the D-men in the NHL. That's Nuck in the six.
Yeah, he was awesome tonight.
Yeah, sensational. Like,
genuinely awesome. And like, it's great to see, because remember last year, like, they started so hot and they were just trouncing teams to begin the season. And it, like, the narrative started to build. It's like, all right, like, big moments. How are they going to do it? And they go into Toronto in early November,
yeah,
after a win in Ottawa. And you're like, all right, here we go. Bright lights Saturday. What's it going to look like? And they lose 5-2. And honestly, like, Quinn had a pretty horrid game.
It's like the one bad game he had to begin the year. Yeah.
And he's like, all right, like, that's going to hurt the Norris March and all these things. Ultimately, obviously, he gets it. But, like, what a redemption from that game a year ago to now. Like, he was the best player on the ice by far. And like, submit that one to the Hart Trophy conversation, because he was that good tonight.
Yeah, I mean, defensively, the things he was doing too. I know that. I mean, you want to get into that now? Like, you were watching the second period. You couldn't stop.
It was a sequence of three shifts.
Defensively,
like,
yeah.
He was so good. Like, there's a play where it's a 4-on-2 for the Leafs, and they try this diagonal drop pass, and it's going for Philip Myers. And Hughes reads it, gets to him. And, again, it's not like this perfect poke-check, but he's able to widen him out. Mm-hmm. And then it's just this weak shot, but it's the engagement and... Like, not every defensive action has to be like, oh, I steal the puck.
Yeah.
It's just, how can you limit options? And we always talk about threat assessment. He does it there. Finds the guy, limits the opportunity. There is a play, and you could see this as they were in the defensive zone. He starts latching on to, again, this is the next shift. He latches on to Austin Matthews. And it looked like man-to-man, because he followed him around for some time.
He stuck with him,
and it goes to the corner. And Matthew Nyes comes out of the corner and sets a pick on, like, a legal pick on Quinn Hughes with another Canuck player there. And it's Matthews coming out of the corner with the puck. And Hughes works through the contact and reattaches to Matthews, takes away that opportunity. And you just see that quick mobility and just closes it down. And then Matthews kind of scrambles and just gets a shot off, but it goes off Quinn Hughes into the corner. That's another, you know, opportunity taken away. And then there was a potential, you know, odd man rush chance after a mishandle at the Canucks blue line at the Leafs blue line. And it's Quinn Hughes capping Mitch Marner,
yeah,
poking it away. And this opportunity now just goes to Matthews in the side boards in the neutral zone, but they're getting ready to change and he just flips it in. So, like, an opportunity for an odd man rush with Marner's and Matthews gets nullified because Quinn Hughes.
Well, yeah, you get the retrieval on the exit, and all of a sudden they can't do anything, right?
Yeah.
And he goes the other way. And everything you described and watching Quinn Hughes defend in those sequences, none of it is this overwhelming defensive presence, as if, like, this guy coming in with speed, taking the puck away, knocking it away, if you're watching it just casually, it's just a play flowing around, and you maybe not pay attention to it. But the way he's taking time and space away, just subtly getting in front of the guys, not allowing the pass to go through, taking the shot away, taking away options, making it angling a guy over, they're all subtle little things. But when people talk about Quinn and they say he has deficiencies defending and his size are an issue, that was a masterclass of how to defend and do it in a very subtle nature that doesn't really stand out. But if you pay attention, you see how much he's taken away.
Yeah, it's his way of defending, right? Yeah. He wins from the ground up. It's not necessarily like cross check, put a guy through the body. He wins from the skates up, and like that Myers play is the one that stands out. Just how quickly because he's working back towards his goal and then pivots and works right back to Myers and just takes this guy out wide and just nullifies the chance. And again, it's with mobility, it's with body positioning, just the fact that he can just tuck in on guys' hands and just take the puck away so swiftly, that's when he's at his best.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Owen and Burnaby text in, what can you say about Garland as well? Has to be a little beat up, but doesn't miss a beat. Played 82 games last year, hasn't missed one this year. He digs, he grinds. How can you not love this guy? Unless you're sat, LOL. Owen and Burnaby texting it.
Owen and Burnaby also had a text for Elias Pettersson as well. Might be the best game he's played all year. Even if he had just the one assist, got to give him credit where it's due. And just a lot of Pettersson texts coming in this evening too.
Yeah, there is a lot of love for Elias Pettersson and how he performed. And I don't dislike Garland. I had more criticisms about him a couple years ago.
2 years ago, yeah.
2 years ago, but you know, you can't complain when the guy plays well. I just don't think him and Pettersson are a great fit. And I thought they were both better away from each other tonight. So I think that's a positive thing.
Ross says, is Selke Petey back? Apparently as well, per Ian McIntyre. Quinn Hughes may have mentioned about that as well.
About Elias Pettersson, yeah. We'll try to get those thoughts.
And Selke.
Yeah, I mean, you'll want to hear what he had to say because it was a pretty good comment about what the guys in the team are saying about Pettersson's defensive presence and the way he's played. Obviously, offensively, we talk about he needs to bring, but defensively, he's been good all year. Tonight was... I don't know if I want to call it a master class or make that much out of it, but considering the degree of difficulty who he was matched up against and what he was doing, like it was an excellent defensive performance.
Yeah, it was probably his best defensive game so far this year.
Yeah, degree of difficulty, I'd say, yeah, probably, right? Like I thought Quinn tonight was great defensively too, and he went exclusively, essentially against Matthew Nyes, Mitch Marner, and Austin Matthews, and he was winning in that role. Elias Pettersson, when you look at his deployment tonight and who he was going up against, and especially being on the road, the other team has last change, but the most common forwards, the three most common forwards, Marner, Nyes, and Matthews.
Yep, and it was one high danger basically for that group.
Kept them completely off the scoreboard. You didn't really notice them a ton. A few moments here and there, but it was an excellent, excellent performance on the road, especially considering the degree of difficulty. Let's go to the phone boards and let's go to Montreal where we have James on the line. James, thanks for calling in. What are your thoughts here tonight?
First and foremost, thank you very much for taking my phone call. It's a pleasure speaking to you, gentlemen. I think your show is fantastic.
Gentlemen, wow,
that being
thank you.
Said,
thank you. Yes.
I would like to just I would like to take it to Tyler Myers. As a huge fan of the Canucks for numerous years, I was one of those guys who used to bash Myers, whether with friends or online. I'm not going to hide it. I thought he took too many penalties and what have you. But I think his game in the last couple of games, I should say, since Quinn Hughes has been out, how he stepped up his game and how he looked. Fantastic. The way he's controlling that blue line. My question to you guys is, in your opinion, once Hronek comes back, would you keep Myers with Hughes and let Hronek run like a second D pairing, in your opinion? I think because Myers has stepped up his game, and I think this could be, you know, a coach's decision, perhaps, or your opinion. What's your thoughts on that?
Hey, thanks for the phone call. I appreciate the kind words as well, James and Montreal. I mean, I think you get the best out of Myers if you limit the exposure. So I would love to have Myers in less leverage situations to get the best out of him consistently. He's had a couple of loud moments, right? Like that turnover in overtime, the mistake in overtime in Washington, right? But if you take that away defensively, he's not wrong, James, that he's been pretty good in his own end. He's done a lot of good things. He's also had those moments that people get really mad about. What do you make of having him on the second pair kind of leading a D pair?
Oh, man. I'm curious about, you know, breaking up Hughes and Myers, or Hughes and Hronek. I just think it makes the most sense to keep them together.
Yeah, but
it gives you the biggest edge. And also, like, with Hronek coming back from an injury, like, I think just put him in the most comfortable environment with Quinn Hughes. And, again, like, I get it. I don't know. I just think, like, Quinn Hughes.
I mean, with Hronek out, and I don't disagree. Like, he's been at his best with Hronek. But has his so-called Hart Trophy case been diminished whatsoever in these 20 games without Filip Hronek?
No, but I don't necessarily care about the Hart Trophy.
I just think
what gives you the best edge to win games.
Well,
also,
what I'm saying is, like, the impact is almost the same as it was when Hronek was here. So what if you have Hronek on a different pair? Are you not better if you have Hronek on the second pair, or at least you spend more of the game 5-on-5 them apart as opposed to them being together? Like, I'm for doing it by committee a little bit, where situationally and certain points of the game you put them together. But I do think they should have them away from one another a bit more than they had prior to the Hronek injury.
Situationally, yeah, sure. I'd just be curious about the records as well with Hronek or without Hronek in the spot too.
Well, they haven't been as good.
No, obviously. And obviously they've missed other guys too. But I just think, like, that pairing is so good. And now we've kind of just gone 2 months without it. And we might be forgetting, like, how good it can be. I'm still pro Hughes and Hronek together.
Yeah. But it was nice to hear somebody like Tyler Myers. Usually Myers, he's getting a lot of criticism.
He was named the second star of the game today too.
Yeah. Yeah, he was good. He had a strong game. Robin Swanson says, "I'm just shocked there's a Canucks fan in Montreal." But hey, listen, we have Canucks fans in Toronto. We have
all over
Canucks
the place.
Fans in Montreal. They're all over the place and coming strong. If you want to grab a phone line, you can. 604-280-0650 or toll free 1-888-275-0650. Let's go to Pete in Surrey, who's on the phone line. Pete, thanks for calling in. What are your thoughts here tonight?
I just want to say it was a great game. Sherwood doing what he does normally and hitting everything out there. Scoring a goal is always great. And, shutting out the Leafs is pretty impressive. What are your thoughts?
Hey, thanks for the phone call. I mean, shutting out the Leafs, and he's not wrong. The Leafs have been a good team. And somebody texted in too and said, I don't believe the team I saw last night and the team I saw tonight is wild to me, the differences that you're seeing. And I think we're all trying to figure out, can they gain some consistency here? So we talked about this heading into the game last night, and it was a disappointing game in Carolina. But up until that game, there was a stretch of they're doing a lot of things positively that's moving in the right direction. And that dud performance has kind of been snuffed out for a while. You go back to the game in Boston, so a month of, okay, pretty consistent overall, like show-up efforts, and the engagement is there at the very, very least. And not that the engagement wasn't there, but it was just kind of like a no-show kind of important, like to some degree, no-poise type of performance. But the level of talent they have, like if Pedersen can play like this or better, JT can play the way he can, we know there's a ceiling somewhere that's higher than what they've shown this year. And the only way you can see that ceiling come through is if you take this performance, put it out again against the Jets, string it together the next few games, and all of a sudden we're talking about a team getting on a bit of a roll. And if they do that, I think you can feel pretty good about what their chances are in the second half, at least, being a playoff team and giving you some level of encouragement heading into the trade deadline and the postseason that maybe it's not the Stanley Cup winning year, but hey, they might be fun. They might have a chance to maybe do something here. Now, it all depends on what comes together, but there is a path, if they can get going here, that this is the type of hockey we see more consistently from them.
Yeah, and again, like, you can win in this environment. If you're going to be lower event, like, you can have, like, we've seen teams win playing low event, but then you actually have to go win. And I'd still like to see them create more and do all these things, but you need something to build off of. And at least now here for a month, we've seen at least a certain level of defensive hockey that makes sense and it's credible. But now, okay, like, what's the next evolution? And as bodies start to come back and if they start picking up results here, do they gain some confidence? And now does that next, like, release happen of, like, the shackles kind of come off a bit and we can start building? Because I do think if you look back to the start of the season, like, did they get over eager on this idea, like, oh, let's go be this rush team? And it's taken a while to get to, like, a baseline of defensive competence here. Like, that's something I'm going to be keeping an eye on here over the next month here is, or from now to the Four Nations break, do they start to look differently offensively with Pedersen back and if you know, Hronek, but just in general, if it looks this competent defensively, do we see just more progress in the offensive zone?
You would hope so.
Yeah.
You know, the caller who called in about Pedersen and said it was Kevin about defensive play turning into offense, and that is when he's at his best, he is doing that. And this team, too, like last year, a lot of the things they did well was they were the team that were forcing mistakes by the opposition and turning those mistakes into goals in transition. We haven't seen that as consistently. Now, they've been better defensively, but they haven't turned it into offense as much, and a lot of that comes down to your best players, right? And Pedersen, again, tonight was a good performance, stringing together. And I think we've seen enough one-off performances that we can't sit here and say, we can declare this turning point of the season. It's kind of like string them together and show me, right?
Yeah.
Like, the evidence so far hasn't pointed towards you having the confidence or assuredness, I should say. You can have confidence, but the assuredness that they're going to pull it off. But I really hope that they do because, you know, narrative-wise even, wouldn't it be great? That game in Toronto, they got stuck in Carolina for an extra night, traveled in game of. Nobody thought they were going to win. They go and blank the Leafs. And that was the moment the season turned. I really hope that's a narrative we have looking back on this season and what the Canucks accomplished, and hopefully they put together another good game against the Jets. Keep your thoughts coming into our text inbox, 650-650. We'll get to more of your phone calls as well, 604-280-0650 or toll-free, 1-888-275-0650. We'll hear from the Canucks head coach. That's next on the Canucks Central Postgame Show, presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment on the home of your Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
Miss any part of Halford and Brough in the Morning? Subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcast and don't miss an episode.
This is the Canucks Central Postgame Show. Join the discussion on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Hughes holds in left point. Right side for Myers, steps into a drive. That missed the target as well. Hughes gets it again left point. Cuts to the middle of the ice. Down the right wing. Backhand pass into the slot for Sherwood. He scores! Kiefer Sherwood with a hard wrist shot beat Hildeby high on the glove side. And the Canucks make it 3-0. Just 47 seconds into the third on Kiefer Sherwood's 13th of the year.
And just another, you know, basically circling the ice is Quinn Hughes in the offensive zone, making everyone pay attention to him and start losing their own checks. And as he goes down the right half wall, Kiefer Sherwood reads it perfectly, pops from the middle of the slot towards the top of the face-off circle on the right side, hits that one-timer short side on the glove side that beats Hildeby to take a 3-0 lead as Hughes now has a goal and assist, forcing his team to stay in this game and keep the lead.
Canucks, 3-0 victory in Toronto against the Maple Leafs, snapping a four-game losing streak, and this is the Canucks Central Postgame Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Keep getting your thoughts into our text inbox, Dunbar Lumber, 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650 or toll-free, 1-888-275-0650. We are awaiting the thoughts of the Canucks head coach, and when we get that, we'll play it for you. We are going to get you some thoughts coming from Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes as well. That's coming up momentarily, and we'll continue breaking this game down. And before we go to the phone boards, there's a lot of reaction on the text inbox. Bick, what are the people saying tonight?
Vince in Toronto, Kevin Blankenen. Hearing the Leafs fans be upset brings a tear to my eye. Bob and Victoria, nice to see the team play well under adverse circumstances. And Steve-O and Sanich, they didn't silence the critics, as we, the critics, are their biggest fans. And they gave us a reason to rejoice and yell from the rooftops. Hell of a game, boys. Again, one game quells a lot of concerns real fast. Obviously, have to build upon it and make it work. But certainly a lot of people happy, not just with the win, but who they beat, obviously.
Yeah, it's a good performance. Now, you know, not everybody is convinced. Paul says under 20 shots, again, that's not a recipe for long-term success. Create a bit more. And Stu texts in, and I'm not going to read everything. It's a long text, but essentially sums it up as a pretty uninspired effort by the Leafs. They didn't generate anything. They weren't throwing big hits, no fights. The fans were booing a first-place team. And he doesn't believe this is a game that you can evaluate the Canucks because of how poor the Maple Leafs were. And hey, to some extent, sure, you can talk about the opposition not being great, but that's also, I think, a little bit of chicken or the egg. Like, did the Canucks also make them not look good? Because we know when the Canucks were at their best, They don't make the opposition look great. They don't give up a lot. So I think the fact that Toronto didn't have a lot of chances, yeah, sure. I mean, maybe they have their own struggles, but they didn't give up a ton of chances against Carolina either. Like defensively, the last little while, they've had some breakdowns, like Montreal, a couple, you know, bad breakdowns, a couple bad moments or whatever, but this is now five of the last six games they've allowed two or fewer goals. You know, like they're not giving up a lot. So the Canucks aren't like eating this massive pressure and having teams, you know, run roughshod over them. They haven't done that. So I do think some credit goes to Vancouver for making the Leafs also look as bad as they did.
Just in general, here in the last month, right, since December 12th, if we're just going to go through that five-on-five play in general across the league, again, this is per natural stat trick. But again, like we chatted about this the other last postgame show as well. Like they are like limiting teams as well. Like it's low event. We talked about it. Like they're one of the best at preventing chances, and they're one of the worst at creating chances. It's like it's extremely low event right now from Vancouver, and so like it's kind of what's happening right now. Mm-hmm. And you know, that element I look at and say, like, you can win this way. It just it needs to end in results.
Yes.
And keep getting wins.
Absolutely. And we'll talk a bit more about some other elements of this game, and we'll get to Milankin in a bit more as well. There was some text about that too. But before we do that, let's go back to the phone board. 604-280-0650 or toll free 1-888-275-0650. Let's go to New West, where we have Don on the line. Don, thanks for calling in. What are your thoughts tonight after a 3-0 Canucks win in Toronto?
Hey guys, thanks for having me. Love the show. I think tonight was, we're talking a lot about low event hockey, and I think that's fine. I think mm-hmm. that's okay. That's what it takes to get back to the sound system play. And I think we saw that tonight. I think that this is one of the better, the most structured games we saw tonight. I didn't see anything to really complain about. There was good structured plays. There was sound defense. And we got a shutout. And I think the other thing, you know, I know we're talking about it, the conditions under which they came in. Mm-hmm. Nobody expected them to win tonight. I certainly didn't. I didn't have them pegged for a shutout, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So, especially against the Leafs in their own barn. So maybe this is, it's one game, like you said, but this is a moment where maybe there's some introspection and navel gazing that the team can do to take forward now, because there you are again. That's how you get it. And yeah. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
No, that's great stuff, man. I appreciate it. Thanks for the phone call, Don. And I don't disagree, right? And you know, we talk about, can this be that catalyst, that turning point moment? And if you want to build, say, you know, a narrative or like make an argument about how this could be it, you can also look at it and say they went into the center of the universe when the pressure was high. Now, sure, everybody thought they were going to lose, so the pressure comes off in that sense to some degree, but it's on Hockey Night in Canada. All these rumors have been circulating, and I know the media in Vancouver gets talked about a lot, but a lot of it has happened because on the big stage at Hockey Night in Canada, almost every week, there was a bombshell about Vancouver being thrown out. And tonight, had they had a bad performance, that fire gets turned up a bigger notch. Mm-hmm. What's being talked about post-game, you know, all these things start pushing forward, and the Canucks, who have had a pretty, you know, they didn't have the passion, I thought, that you kind of needed last night, for instance. It looked like they felt sorry for themselves after another tough overtime loss in a game they deserved against Washington. And if they had another performance like this, you would imagine the avalanche of criticism and rumors circulating around the team. And instead, they kind of fought in the face of that and had this performance. So if you want to build a narrative and build this argument of belief and this being the turning point, there are a lot of factors that you can point to.
At some point, again, like you need to break the cycle and start building towards it. We'll see if this is the game. But we've had these conversations after Florida, after Colorado. And, you know, Pedersen goes out and it doesn't help. But we'll see how they can build upon this one. It's been the theme so far this year. It's just like this is your next opportunity to build upon it. But we'll see what happens here against Winnipeg and LA.
No, I'm with you on that. Joe texts in and says, why can't two things be true? The Leafs were a little flat, but maybe, just maybe, that's because the Canucks had a smarter game plan as well. He's right. Man after my own heart. I like the phrase. That's Joe texting in. Keep your thoughts coming into our text inbox, and we'll get to more of those. But it is time to hear what the Canucks head coach has to say after a 3-0 win in Toronto. Here is Rick Tocchet at the podium, brought to you by Tile Town.
How big a task was it tonight for you guys to rally after what happened the last 24 hours?
Yeah, I think it becomes a problem when you talk about it. And we didn't talk about it as a group, which is good. You're going to have these challenges, and, you need 21 guys going, and we all did, worked in the right direction.
What did your group show?
Yeah, a lot of heart. I mean, last couple of years is a resilient group. Takes a lot of punches, and it gets back up. So this is one of those times we got back up.
What do you make of Pedersen's defensive game tonight?
I thought it was one of Petey's best games of the year. I thought he was terrific. Block shots. That one at the end there dove to they had a backdoor play. That was a high hockey IQ, Petey. He didn't press forward. He went back. He saw that was going to happen. Yeah, he was terrific. That line was really good. Every line was great, but yeah, Petey was excellent tonight.
One of the things you did is sort of changed up your top six mix.
Yeah.
And in doing so, it was really like Petey playing a lot self-matched with Hughes, whereas that's often been what JT did, and JT sort of filling in that second-line role that Pedersen's
sure.
often done. What was your thinking behind that? What did you think of the results?
Yeah, it's some freshness. Just, we were a little stagnant. I mean, like I said, thought we've played, four or five, last five, six games really good defensively. We just having a tough time scoring. I just felt a little bit, guys had a little juice. I think Brock was excited. That line was good, and I thought Garley's was good in the Millsy line. I mean, I can go down the list. I thought Lekker-Mackey did a really good job today for back-to-back game. I thought he did a great job on the walls. Just the little things that you need from a young guy like that.
How big was this for you personally, coming home? Obviously, probably didn't look great in the morning, but a lot of friends here, I'm sure.
Yeah, nephew and niece are here. Yeah, I got a lot of people here, friends and family. Toronto's the best, Chief's one of my best friends, and it's good seeing him today. Too bad we didn't come a day early. We probably had dinner, but I'll probably see him in Vancouver sometime.
Have you challenged those guys to step up?
Well, they know it. I mean, they know it. They know that for us to be successful, they gotta have to score some goals for us. But also, they know, I think they're happy because we played a smart game. We got timely goals, but I think they all played good defense too. So, hey, when you're not scoring, you got to make sure that you play good defense, and I think that they take that to heart, and I thought they did that tonight.
When you get a game like that from Quinn Hughes as a head coach, I mean, I'm sure you feel pretty fortunate. Are you shaking your head on the bench the way we are often watching him from the press box?
Yeah, it's more than that. He's just a terrific guy. He cares about everybody. I mean, he's the same way. Whether we're up 5-0 or down 5, he's a true captain, and what he's done does for our team is. It's incredible what he does for us.
That is Canucks head coach Rick Tocchet. From vision to reality, Tiletown has everything you need for your tiling project. See them today in Victoria, Richmond, Langley, and online at mytiletown.ca. And we'll hear from the Canucks captain, Quinn Hughes, coming up in a little bit as well here. But the head coach, obviously full of praise for his captain, calls him a true captain and just mentions how terrific person he is. And he brought this up earlier today, too. He was speaking to Cal Bukauskas before the game and said, when you ask Quinn, how are you doing? He says, no, how are you, coach? That's his thing. He's been really getting the point across of how much he cares about his teammates and all the people around the team. But he's been shy of praising Pedersen a lot this year. Not tonight. Said it's one of Petey's best games. Terrific blocked shots. High hockey IQ on that play where he dove to take away the backdoor play. He said he was excellent and terrific. And I liked a lot of what he saw from his team this evening.
Yeah, again, there's so many sequences where, and many people have texted in about this, about what Pedersen did defensively this evening, and we got a lot of texts about people even at the game, and just very, very noticeable. Just trying to bring it up here. 5 block shots for Elias Pedersen. I know this is something you bring up a lot of the time, too, that he's not tough enough. Well, he puts up a lot of hits, and he puts up a lot of block shots as well.
He's been leading Canucks forwards in block shots for a few years now, every single season. And nobody ever talks about how he's amongst the league leaders every single season for forwards blocking shots. Nobody talks about it.
So it's 5 tonight. And again, like that sequence where he does get to the back post in that spot was, again, so sharp because he was diving across. I think it was Nyes on that chance. And yeah, it just he also had like a flying kick save as well earlier in the second period.
Yeah.
It was just sharp the whole way. And again, like what's the number one thing we think of with Rick Tocchet and things that he's always going to appreciate, like battle level.
Mm-hmm.
So tonight, like, it was there for Elias Pettersson. Of course, it should go to, getting an attaboy from the coach tonight.
Yeah, I mean, so Pettersson, he missed the six games. He is 12th in the league in block shots amongst forwards, and he's only six back of the top five. Five back of being in the top five, and he missed the six games. So essentially, on block shot rate, top five amongst the league among forwards. And that element of his game has been there, but tonight, a different level as far as the impact defensively as well.
Just really quick on that, Mike Kelly, who a friend of the station, you see him on NHL Network, and Sports Logic, he's the director of analytics there, just tweeted out, Pettersson, amongst forwards this season, blocked passes, he's first. Blocked shots, he's 14th. Puck battle wins, he's 17th. Loose puck recoveries, he's 24th. And stick checks, he's 33rd.
Not bad. It's pretty good. And we'll play Quinn Hughes' comments coming up in a second. And he spoke about Elias Pettersson too. Is there something else you wanted to touch on from what Rick Tocchet had to say in his postgame?
Lekkomäki getting a shout out.
Yeah.
That was notable. We mentioned earlier, it's like he looked
fine.
Fine.
He had four shot attempts, right? So he was getting his looks. The thing he mentioned about playing smart, being good along the walls, and I know there was some criticism for him playing on the fourth line and a player like him being on the fourth line, but as far as being exposed to that type of role and environment, he acquitted himself well, and I think that's a good thing because the coach probably feels like, you do those things, I can trust you more, and you'll find yourself playing up the lineup again.
Yeah. And again, 9 minutes, 56 seconds tonight from Lekkomäki tonight. But aside from that, that was about it for Tocchet.
Yeah. Let's hit a couple texts and we'll go to the phone boards coming up in just a second. This one here says, Lekker belongs. Didn't disappear on the fourth line. It should be in the top six permanently. That's Steve-O texting in. And what else are you seeing on the text inbox?
BMAC texting in saying maybe they can reverse the results from last season going into the second half. Last year they started great and then they slowed. Do the opposite and let's go further than last year. Again, I'm not predicting that or anything like that, but like that was a thought that they had this year that they wanted to prepare their bodies to manage the season and be prepared for what the second half of the season looks like as well.
Yeah, and you know what? Considering how the first half has gone, we're kind of to go time now. You know, like last year they had like the great start, and it's kind of like, hey, we solidified, and they went through that bit of a swoon and malaise until the playoffs happened. You're into a position now that it's, especially coming in after the Four Nations, it's going to be a sprint.
I know, like we always say, it's like a long season, 82 games. But just the, like 32 teams now and the playoff format, like you kind of need a sense of urgency throughout the whole season. And I've been hearkening about this, like the start is always so important. And I know last year it became such a big talking point because they've let seasons sink away. But like, you kind of just need to always be pushing the tempo and find the moments when you can kind of, all right, can we just coast for seven games and then just like reset and then pick it back up? And, you know, athletes naturally, like you're supposed to like rise, plateau. That's why we call it like peaking at the right time at the end of the season.
Yeah, and hopefully it's something the Canucks find a way to do throughout the second half of the campaign. Let's take a phone call here before we hit the break. Let's go to New West where we have Pops on the line. Pops, thanks for calling in. What do you have for us tonight?
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good, excellent.
Couple of things. Our man Tocchet and his band of men that he's brought in, his coaching staff, are unbelievable. I'm sure they let a little rocket off in the locker room or on the plane home or to Toronto. But oh, captain, Hughes is insane. So next time he gets on the ice when he's back in our town, I say we play Walk in the Line. Johnny Cash, when he gets that goal.
Yeah.
He's a beauty. And, guys, the team played great. Petey was great. Miller wasn't being exposed too much. He was, like, four minutes a shift, I think. So he was in for those powerful face-offs. And it just mixed things up. And I think the team played really well under the coaching staff. And I think we're at a TSN turning point. Thanks for listening to us. Pops the Wood Whisperer.
Love it. Appreciate it. That's Pops in New West calling in. And we do hope that it is a turning point here for the Vancouver Canucks heading into the second half. And, you know, as far as the coaching staff, I know they've taken criticism as well. I know lineup decisions get talked about a lot. Somebody texted in and said, I was fighting the fight about Brännström on social media. And
somebody was taking up the cause?
Well, taking up the cause about, you know, he's not as good as you guys think he is. And I guess I was right texting in. And yeah, you get your flowers, you get your back pats for it. But I know the coaching staff has taken some flack for it, but as far as how the Canucks came out with their effort, I know that people wonder, like, hey, are this team still playing for their head coach? Like, it's clearly obvious they are. Like, they play for their head coach. Execution hasn't always been there, but it's not a situation where they don't listen to their head or have tuned out their head coach.
Certainly not. And to also follow up on Pops's call there, Leafs forwards, and really most forwards in the league, they feel like they when they rush out to play Quinn Hughes, they cry.
cry. All right. I see it. All right. Is there something else on the text inbox you want to hit? Because on the other side, we'll hear from Pettersson. We'll hear from Hughes. We'll try to connect with Ian McIntyre as well. But is there something else you want to get out here from the text inbox?
Isaac, absolutely perfect road game. If you want a statement game, just look at today. Defensively amazing. And, man, it's just so sweet to beat the Leafs at their house. Greg and Langley, time to round up the horses, hitch up the bandwagon, pull it out of the barn. Yeehaw! Canucks beat the Leafs. Seriously, the season's at a crossroads. They really needed a win. I give the Canucks credit tonight. They made Toronto look really bad.
And June in Burnaby says, are the Canucks finally clicking? My husband and I are going to the game a couple of weeks against Buffalo. Was dreading to go lately, but now feeling more optimistic after a Canucks victory. That's June in Burnaby. But not everybody is convinced. This one here says, why all the positivity? It's only one game, and changes still need to happen. You can't please everybody.
It's the Leafs. That's why it's the positivity. It matters who you beat.
How can you not be happy about beating the Leafs? That's all, you know, and at least enjoy the moment. All right, we'll get to more of your thoughts on the other side. Plus, we'll hear from Hughes, from Pettersson, plus IMAC after a Canucks 3-0 win in Toronto. And this is the Canucks Central postgame show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Let Kubota do your heavy lifting. Visit them online at dleamc.com. More next on the home of your Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
Hey, it's Dan Riccio.
And Satyar Shah.
Join us for Canucks Central, where we will set up the game and break down the latest around the Canucks.
4 to 6 p.m. and post-game on Sportsnet 650 and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is where you talk Canucks. You're listening to the Canucks Central post-game show
on the official home of the Canucks.
Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Domi. Drops to Robertson. Over to the left circle. Morgan Riley off the bench. Got a shot away. Pettersson sprawled in front of that one to block it. And then plays it loose to Brock Besser, who will control it his own line. Delay and then pass up the right wing for Pettersson into the Maple Leafs zone. Pettersson on the left wing. Threw it to the goal. Besser tipped it wide.
I thought it was one of Petey's best games of the year. I thought he was terrific. Block shots. That one at the end there, dove to it. They had a backdoor play. That was a high hockey IQ, Petey. He didn't press forward. He went back. He saw that was going to happen. Yeah, he was terrific. That line was really good. Every line was great, but yeah, Petey was excellent tonight.
Canucks head coach Rick Tocchet, full of praise for Elias Pettersson. Gets an assist tonight, 5 block shots, tremendous defensively, and a 3-0 Canucks win over the Toronto Maple Leafs. And this is the Canucks Central postgame show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment on the home of your Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network. Keep your thoughts coming into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650, and we'll take more of your thoughts as the show goes on here. We are going to hear from Quinn Hughes, Elias Pettersson, plus Ian McIntyre. But we do have time to squeeze in a couple texts, Bick, before we get to the players' thoughts.
Yeah, Frank and Kelowna, great game and result, of course, helped scoring the first goal. I think Canucks have deserved better results in a number of games lately. A bounce here and there, and the narrative would be different. And look, it's a totally different game for Vancouver when they score first, right? Like, this looked like last year, as you mentioned earlier, just because you get the early goal, and then you just kind of methodically work your way through and prevent, get your goal in the second period on a nice 6-on-5, And then again, same thing. It's like they're capable of this. We saw this last year of playing like lock down, make it difficult and force oppositions into spaces and things that they don't want to do and then go capitalize. It's just we haven't really seen it this year. But this felt like a lot more like last year.
It did. And again, like it's one game, one victory. Weston and Nimo texted in and said it's 3 points in four games. So it's really how you look at it if you want to build a positive outlook for it, right?
But build whatever filter you want.
Yeah, but it's about stringing it together. You know, like if you want to be convinced about them turning a corner, you have to turn the corner. You know, you can't look like you're about to turn the corner.
Can't stand on the corner. You got to actually turn it.
Exactly. And hopefully we see the Canucks do this as the season goes on here. You heard the head coach praise Elias Pettersson. We'll get to him. But he spoke about Quinn Hughes as well. And that'll lead us to Pettersson afterwards because a part of the conversation does turn to number 40 on the Canucks, who had a strong defensive performance. But here is Quinn chatting with Kyle Bukauskas after a 3-0 win in Toronto.
Quinn, first of all, how would you describe this entire day for your group?
I mean, we've all played junior hockey, and that comes with this tribulation. So we're pretty spoiled in the NHL, but what are you going to do? It's the weather.
Well, having said that, as you guys made your way here, when did you start to get a sense that, you know, despite all that's going on, it's not an ideal day, but the group was going to be fine?
I mean, right after the game last night, we got on the bus and it was like, yeah, we can't get out. So we knew it was going to be a little bit of a different day today, but I don't think that affects any of us. We're all pros, and you know, we desperately needed a win. So,
seemed like last night there was some lamenting about maybe some missed chances, missed opportunities. So, 31 seconds in tonight, the shot mentality of Tyler Myers. How did that go about setting the tone for the
evening? Mizey's been great. I mean, you know, I think all of our defensemen have stepped up with you know, Hronek out, and I just thought, you know, our whole team played a really mature game tonight, and proud of the group. And I mean, the last couple games we probably could have snuck out wins as well, definitely in Washington and Montreal, and we didn't get it, so I'm glad we got it tonight.
You mentioned the need for a win, and given your ties to this city and the Toronto organization, I wonder, what does a shutout victory mean to you here?
I think it just means a lot, just because I know how the last couple weeks have been for our team and all the different things we've had to battle, and not only the last couple weeks, but you know, this entire season really. And just proud of the character that we have in the room, that we're able to, you know, put everything aside and do what we need to do tonight. And
lastly, just what's been the most encouraging part then for you over the last little bit as you guys try to find your way out of everything?
Just that nothing's coming easy, and you know, we're working, you know, so hard, working as hard as we can, and there's no excuses being made in there. There's no pointing fingers. We just go to work. And even last night, I don't think you know, obviously one of the not our best games, just as far as, I don't know what we had, 15, 16 shots, but we, you know, we worked as hard as we could, and there's no complaints, and we showed up to the rink today and tried to do the same thing, and that's what I'm proud of.
Congrats, yeah, thank you.
Appreciate it.
That is Canucks captain Quinn Hughes, and I mentioned he had a thought on Elias Pettersson. My mistake, because he did have a thought on Elias Pettersson.
It may have been privately to Ian.
Yeah, so please, this is what Ian McIntyre
tweeted out.
Quinn Hughes, yes.
Says, after Elias Pettersson's D-zone shift in the third period when he blocked a shot, won a puck battle, and got a stick on a pass into the slot, Quinn Hughes said teammates on the bench were yelling, Selkie. So there you go.
All right. So I think that's something to keep in mind, right? Because we talk about Pettersson playing well, but also getting to a point where his teammates are excited by him.
Yeah.
And those are good things. We heard Kiefer Sherwood kind of stuck up for him after that Preds game before Christmas, and he talked about how he doesn't get enough credit for how good he is defensively, and you know, he's been going through it offensively, of course, right? So it's good to see that the group is together, so to speak, especially for after all the discussions about them having all the turmoil, right?
Yeah, you want teammates to build you up, right?
Yeah.
And keep backing you in those spots, and that's what good teammates do. And there was Rick talking earlier, just talking about what a good teammate Quinn Hughes is.
Yeah, good to see, right? And if you win, the narrative will change in a positive way. Keep winning. If you don't, it'll get back to what's going on with these guys. They don't like each other. Is one getting traded? What's going on? And all that sort of stuff, right? You know, this team is going to be at its best pick this season with Elias Pettersson and JT Miller finding their game for the Canucks. The best possible outcome isn't one getting traded. It's both guys playing well and leading this team to success, and we hope we see that here. Let's hit a couple texts. We're going to go to the phone boards before Elias Pettersson. Colin from Caribou says, good effort tonight. Now go show us what you can do consistently for a stretch of games.
Yeah.
Which is essentially what you got to do.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. And again, like, I'm interested to watch against Winnipeg. They can play fast, Shifley. Trying to beat Hellebuck is going to be difficult. And they can play, like, strong defensive game, too. So do we see another low event, work your way through it type game? So that'll be an interesting one to watch against Winnipeg on Tuesday.
Yeah. Yes. I'm being corrected by Allen and Burnaby. You said 4 points in three games. 4 points in three games, you said it backwards. What I meant to say was points in three out of four games is what Weston and Nanaimo texted.
There we go.
I misspoke.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Points in three out of four games. But Allen is correct. It's 4 points in three games.
Facts only. We're pro accountability on the show.
Yeah, facts only. All right. We'll get a couple more texts here. But before we do that, let's take a phone call. Let's go to Vancouver where George is on the line. George, thanks for calling in again. And, you know, we did pass along your note to IMAC last time.
I heard that. It was hysterical. Please don't get him ornery tonight. I don't like ornery IMAC. But anyway.
Yeah, we're afraid of that, too.
He'll be in a much better mood. Again, it really impressed tonight. To me, this game was about the level of focus of the team. They were disciplined and extremely attentive to detail. They didn't get roughed up at all, but Toronto's really not that kind of team. Mm-hmm. And of course, what can we say about Quinn Hughes? Just a phenomenal player, best player the Canucks have ever had, and he's really showcasing that during these tough times. I'm still of the mind that this level of challenge they're going through now will make them a much tougher opponent in the playoffs, and it's a different vibe than last year where they had all the breaks and all the luck. This year, they've got to earn every square inch of real estate in those standings. The last thing I'll say is, boy, I think we do have a little bit of a goalie controversy here. If I'm the coach, I'm probably going with Lanky on Tuesday. And if he gets another shutout or a win, we've got the Kings and Oilers coming up. He might end up, it'd be hard not to play Demko, but Lankinen had a very, very good game tonight. I was impressed with him too. Take care. All the best. And I'll be listening for IMAC again.
Yeah. You got it. Thanks for the phone call, George. And I'll link it in because we got some texts about this as well.
Yeah.
I think George is right. I think for the time being, you treat Lankinen very much as the 1A. Good performance tonight, shutout. You go back to him on Tuesday. Now, that doesn't mean you don't go to Demko the game after coming back, but that's kind of where I'm at. Like right now, Lankinen's shown to be the better goaltender. And eventually, you hope Demko shows and is the guy, but I agree.
Yeah, I do think like some of the commentary maybe coming in from fans is a bit unfair. Like it's been 8 games here for Thatcher Demko. 8 games. Like it was a very difficult injury, long rehab process. And like this is kind of foreign territory as well, part of the testing it back out again of what is doable. Mm. And so, yeah, like it hasn't gone perfectly, obviously. 883 save percentage and 2-2-3 so far this season, but it's 8 games here we're talking about. But given Lankinen's success, it's incumbent upon Demko to take it back, the crease back, and that's what you want, that level of competition. So if this is the usage moving forward, like, yeah, I'm fine with it. If that illness didn't happen and give Demko a run of games there, like my number was basically, is he going to get to 11 starts by the end of January?
Yeah.
And obviously now he's up to 8, but because of the extra usage there. But I still think it's like you have to keep playing this out here because it's going to take some time for Demko to figure out, okay, like what can I do? What's useful here? And then like let's see as this continues to build out. But hey, Kevin Lankin can do is make it a difficult decision for the coaching staff.
And he certainly has so far. All right, keep getting your thoughts into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox. We have IMAC coming up in a couple of minutes. But before we do that, let's get the thoughts of Canucks forward Elias Pettersson. Here he is speaking to the media after a 3-0 win in Toronto.
A little interesting morning for us. We stayed in Carolina, traveled today, and just eat, sleep, and hockey. But it was liked our effort, followed game plan. Everybody was chipping in, and really a good, solid effort from all of us.
How important was that first goal? In the first 2 minutes, just to give you momentum.
Yeah, definitely got momentum right away. And we just got more juice from that, and we can continue going. But then again, I think all lines were good. Everybody played good. We helped each other, and
NHL players are creatures of habit. What were the last 24 hours like? Did you guys get a pregame nap? Like, what was it like today?
Yeah, didn't get much sleep last night. I tend to not have an easy time to fall asleep after games. Early flight, and then the flight took like almost 90 minutes from scheduled time. We got into maybe 1:30 to the hotel, eat, sleep, and then back here. So it's kind of nice also in some way. I don't know. We got the win, so.
What did your group show tonight, the character of the group? It's been a tough stretch.
Yeah, it's been a tough stretch. But then we've been close to winning, but haven't pulled it off. But I think today, if we keep building on this and always try to play like this, I like our chances for every game.
I know you said it was kind of nice. What did you think about arriving day of? You said it was kind of nice there.
Yeah, it was like back to junior. Arrived on the same day. But yeah, I like everyone's mindset to not let it affect us and play our game.
Seems like, in addition to sort of playing your game, whether it was some sliding blocks, a variety of other defensive plays, you seemed especially dialed in your own end of the rink tonight. Did you feel that? What was behind that from you?
No, it's trying to be myself out there. Trying to be reliable on both ends. And when it's my time to step up for something, I always want to do it for the team. So, yeah, happy with my game and our lines game today. But, just got to keep it going.
That is Elias Pettersson after the game, and the man who was there to watch the Canucks win 3-0, battling through a cold travel troubles just like the Canucks, is the man we call the Triple Threat. You watch him on TV, you read him on digital, about to hear him on radio. He is Ian McIntyre.
Well, thank you for your concern, Sat. And much like the Canucks, I feel way better today than I did yesterday. I was playing hurt yesterday.
Yeah, and you know what? You fought through it, and you improved, and our man Bick is fighting through it tonight. He's getting gradually worse as the night goes on, but he's battling through it too. So we're all, fighting through something. I mean, I'm fighting through lackluster efforts from my co-host, but you guys are fighting through illnesses. I'm just kidding.
Well, I know that I didn't give it to Bick because we haven't been together for too long. I miss you guys.
If only I could catch talent, right? I caught an illness instead.
Yeah. I'm coming home tomorrow, by the way.
There we go.
I'll be talking to you on the phone after the Winnipeg game from my big brown recliner in Steveston.
Well, you know what? It's a veteran move, avoiding the Winnipeg leg of the trip and coming straight home to Vancouver. So I see what you're doing there. But, I know you got work to do as well. So let's just get into what we saw here tonight. And considering the tough circumstances, and, we always look for inflection points and maybe turning points. And could, the narrative be a ripe one for a turning point game here tonight?
Well, that's what Kiefer Sherwood told me after the game. He said they needed a statement win game to kind of restart the season and lead to a better second half. And this is game 42, so the first game of 41 in the second half. We'll see how the other 40 go. But when they play the way they did tonight, and they get the kind of effort they had from Pettersson and Besser and even Miller, although Miller was quieter and certainly his ice time was down. But that, I think, was a reflection of just how much Tocchet was trying to lean on all four lines here on the second game in 24 hours with the crazy travel. But when they have this kind of performance, you think, oh, maybe they can all just get along and this team can actually be what we thought it could be when the season started, because they've been defending well for a while. We know that scoring has been a big challenge in a lot of these games, and especially 5-on-5 scoring. But they got three even strength goals tonight, although Hughes technically 6 against 5. And it was just, they gave up 20 shots. They never looked in danger. I think that's one of the big differences from tonight's game and some of the other games. Even when they played well, they didn't look nervous with the lead. They didn't look skittish. They weren't making kind of panicky plays. There weren't as many just flip outs, desperation flip outs and icings and things like that, they looked comfortable and they looked confident. And certainly Pettersson looked that tonight as well. This was his best game of the year, I think. And all he ended up with on the score sheet was 1 second assist. But the way he competed and defended, that was a really positive sign. That's the most positive sign of all on an individual basis, because that kind of Pettersson has been missing for most of the games this season.
One of the players we brought up was Quinn Hughes. Obviously, he was so dominant tonight. But we were reflecting on last year when they go into Toronto, right? They were on such a hot streak to begin the year in early November. They go into Toronto, and it just didn't go well for them in that spot here. And then a year removed now, like, he was fantastic throughout this whole evening. And we've seen it so much. But I just think of that moment here. They're facing so much adversity, and they win in this big spot and completely, like, control the game, as you just mentioned. And I think, like, what a moment for Quinn Hughes to play that game on that stage.
Yeah. And I mean, we forget, because he's an American player from Michigan, and he spent his entire career with the Canucks. We forget how much Toronto meant to him in his upbringing here, you know, when his dad was working here. So it was a big game for him. Obviously, I shouldn't say obviously, honestly, I can barely remember games from 2 weeks ago, let alone one from last
year. Fair enough.
But I do know from many years of covering the team that when you expect the most is when you're most likely to be disappointed, and when you expect the least is when you're most likely to be pleasantly surprised. And I mean, who would have expected this tonight? You know, the second half of a back-to-back against a formidable opponent in a rink on a night that's often been unkind to the Canucks over the years. Throw in the travel, throw in the drama and just the general form of the two teams. Who would have picked this outcome? Mm-hmm. But I think also that the circumstances worked in their favor mentally, not physically, of course, because, you know, it's a lot that they had to go through, a whirlwind, as Tyler Myers said, for 24 hours. But mentally, I think everybody was laser focused, because they knew there was no margin for error. They knew that the physical circumstances were so challenging and daunting that they had to be dialed in mentally and sharp from the start to have any chance of winning. And I think that's what really helped them. Like, they were just focused probably on the first shift, which actually went well for Vancouver. Mm-hmm. And they followed it up with a bunch of good shifts. You know, it was the first 10 minutes that really dictated the game, and at least it dictated kind of the Canucks' intentions and where they were with their game and how dialed in they were. And then they kind of just took care of business after that.
Yeah, and you really do hope that they carry this over. And, you know, going to Toronto tonight, Hockey Night in Canada too, all the rumors around the Canucks, all the turmoil around the Canucks, you lose this game, it just adds more fuel to the fire. But, like, is this also one of the games where management is watching if they're trying to make a decision on their top players? And yeah, maybe JT wasn't at his best, but overall still solid performance and limited ice time at least. But that they look at it and say, like, this is why we have these guys?
Yeah, it's a game. I was thinking about that. Like, what would Patrick Alvin think watching this? And it would, I'm sure, scare the crap out of him, the idea of trading Elias Pettersson, if this is the way that Pettersson can play on a nightly basis. And this is the way that they want him to play. It's not about the points. It's not about being a scoring star. It's not about winning individual awards. It's just doing absolutely anything required to help the team win. And those things are often difficult and unglamorous and sometimes painful. And he did all those things tonight. You know, the shot blocking, he threw a couple of hits. He won puck battles. He played, he competed in front of his net. You know, when you see him play that way, knowing he has the skill that he has, he would be one of the best players in the league over the course of a season if he could play that way. So I think it would really give you pause. I mean, I think it's a very frightening proposition. I mean, we've been talking about it now for several weeks. It's a frightening proposition to trade any foundational player, right? Because the chances of winning that trade are slim, and the chance of that player coming back and haunting you for years, well, it's a lot greater with Pettersson just because of his age than it is with JT Miller. But Pettersson, if he's going to get to that level, if he's going to be a player who deserves to be the fifth highest played in the league, this is the way he has to be able to play every game. And if not every game, then 4 out of 5 like this. And if he can do that, you'd be out of your mind to trade him. But he's been here for a bunch of years now, and he's struggled so long going back to almost this time last year. I think it was middle of February. So coming up on 11 months that he's been struggling, and he needs to take this step. And if he doesn't take it with the Canucks, then maybe there's a chance he'll have to take it with another team. But certainly on a night like tonight, you don't want to be sending Elias Pettersson anywhere else.
Before we let you go, Kevin Lankinen gets a shutout, and they've been alternating goalies. Do you think they start treating, or not start, but like kind of treat? We just lost Ian McIntyre here. We'll see if we can reconnect with him quickly. If not, we'll.
He didn't want to talk about a goaltending controversy.
He's like, I'm not doing the goalie controversy thing. I just kind of try to quiet down the Pettersson Miller controversy, and that didn't take off tonight. But you know, on that point though. And I still think, as good as Pettersson was tonight, like, I still think he can be even better. Like, that's the reason I'm so reluctant to trade Pettersson is, not only do I think he can do what he did tonight, I think he can do even more than what he did tonight. And I want to see him realize that potential, right? And I think that's a big thing. Now, before we let you go, Ian, and we reconnected with you, Kevin Lankinen.
I'm back.
You're back. All right. But just quickly before we let you go, and I know you got work to do, but Lankinen, shut out tonight. Is he going to be treated as at least a 1A for the next little while here?
Oh, I think so. I mean, he has been, really, since Demko came back. I know people made a lot of that spell. What did Demko play, 4 in a row? Or was it 5 anyways?
Yeah.
But remember, Lankinen was ill during that time, so he missed a couple of starts. I think their plan has always been, once Lankinen performed the way he did, that they were going to have two goalies, and I think that's still the plan. By the way, that was me who cut us off because I had to cough, and I thought I was hitting the mute button, and it turns out you can actually terminate the phone call with that little switch that's on your
on the
earbuds.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
But I heard you talking about potential. You know, the great example of what a player can become from what he was as a dominant center is Jack Eichel. If you think of, like, Jack Eichel with the Buffalo Sabres, okay, yeah, this great, great, talented player, gets points, it feels like empty calories, the team's terrible, it doesn't get any better, and he doesn't really seem to get too much better from year to year, but he scores a lot of points. Everyone knows he's a talented player. Well, he goes to Vegas, where there's structure and coaching and a culture and teammates and standards and expectation. And now Jack Eichel has become the player that people thought he could be when he was drafted second overall. You know, he is now a powerful two-way center. That's what Elias Pettersson can become. Maybe, you know, Pettersson's got to get a lot stronger. That's a whole other part of this conversation, is his conditioning and his off-season training and just his size. But, you know, that's the kind of transformation that the Canucks would like to see for him to get to the next level.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with you there, Ian. And fantastic stuff as always. We look forward to reading your latest when it's up on sportsnet.ca. Great quote from Quinn Hughes about Elias Pettersson as well, which we saw you share on X and Twitter too. So we look forward to that. You getting home safely and chatting with you on Tuesday when the Canucks take on the Jets.
Well, I will look forward to that almost as much as I'll look forward to being in the Jim Robson broadcast gondola the next time there's a home game.
Oh, can't wait. That's coming up on Thursday against the Kings, so it won't be that long a wait.
All right. See you guys.
You got it. See you later. That is Ian McIntyre. Great stuff as always here on the Canucks Central Postgame Show. And that brings us to the end of the show. Fun to talk about a victory here tonight for the Canucks, and we'll see what they have in store for us on Tuesday in Winnipeg. Thank you all for listening, participating, being part of the show. It's a pleasure as always. Special thanks to Fast Eddie Gregory, our producer, to Bic Nazar. Feel better, buddy, working hard through whatever's ailing you right now. I'm Satyar Shah, and we'll chat with you guys again soon. You've been listening to the Canucks Central Postgame Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment on the home of your Canucks, Sportsnet 650.